The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We are going to have Pedro Gomez today on what happened yesterday in the NBA and in Major League Baseball and the WNBA, where players just said, we're not playing. We're just not going to play. And I've never seen anything like it. I don't know if Pedro's ever seen anything like it. And then we have to talk about the Diamondbacks. They're boring. They're uninteresting. They keep losing. Is Torey Lovello in jeopardy of losing his job? Should they turn the roster upside down with a trade deadline next week? You know, this team has been lapped by the Padres, who have oodles of personality and a young roster. They're fun. They're entertaining. And then you have the Dodgers and their massive payroll. So in the National League West, what are we doing here in Arizona? I mean, this has been one of the most disappointing teams in baseball this season. So Pedro and I are going to do a deep dive on the Diamondbacks on all topics and much more. Herm Edwards today. We get to catch up with the Arizona State head football coach protesting what he did in the protests back in the late 60s at Cal Berkeley. What is he doing with his team now that they've been shut down? Did they shut down too soon in the Pac-12? All things with Herm Edwards on today's show. So very, very excited for today's show. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union. Think for yourselves for a moment of your finances, whether it's your company or it's on a personal end. Do you have a credit union there for you? Lots of different directions you can go with your business that you need assistance with. Maybe it's home loan, maybe it's car loan on a personal side. Desert Financial Credit Union. They've been in the Valley for years and years, conveniently located. It's where we take our business at sports360az.com. That's Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. Eric Sorensen is with us. What is new? What is going on in your world?
Player protests. It's kind of sad that it's come to this, but that has been the biggest headline over the last 24 hours. And it's incredible, Brad, how powerful sports can be, not just in the sports world, but in the real world as well.
Is it sad? I mean, that's what you said. I found yesterday to be, my phone started beeping around 2:30, and I was, what's going on? And it was, the players have walked off. They're not going to play basketball. And, you know, with what has gone on in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and it's like, okay, so now what? And then it was the next game. And then it was the WNBA. And then it was baseball. And then I saw Craig Counsell last night say something really smart, because Craig is a very smart man, somebody I have a great deal of respect for. And Craig said, I'm fine with the players doing it. The players have done things like wear T-shirts with their names on the backs. We have to do much more than that. They're just tired. And then I hear that Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN, that management and ownership of the Bucks was in the locker room assisting the players to get to the attorney general in Wisconsin, to get to people of influence. So you have ownership assisting players, even though they're saying, we're not playing. And then Kenny Smith walks off the set last night. And then Charles says, you guys are being pretty foolish here. You're running up against something pretty bad here. You guys are taking this protest thing too far. And then LeBron doesn't say anything at all today coming out of a meeting. So you have all this confluence of people together. We're not going to have basketball tonight again. You have Cliff Kingsbury this morning over at the Cardinals saying, we're not practicing today. Eric, it has become a moment that I've never seen in 30-plus years of doing sports where the players say, we're just not going to play.
Especially, Brian, when you're talking about the NBA playoffs. I mean, this isn't just game, you know, 64 on an NBA schedule. Like, this is the NBA playoffs. There are a lot of eyeballs watching the NBA, as you and I have talked about over the last two or three weeks. But it's empowering to see, but it's sad that it's come to this.
Well, I don't know where it's going to stop, because the NFL is still 2 weeks away. I would have to think that if the NFL were playing their worthless, meaningless preseason August who cares games, that they would have boycotted and protested this weekend. It's a Thursday. They would have had games starting tonight. So in the news cycle, they would do that. Moving from what we're seeing right now, the NFL in 2 weeks, are they going to say, players say, we're not going to play? You know, Jerry Jones has hinted around on his radio show about kneeling and not kneeling. He has said, we'll get rid of anybody who kneels. Well, good luck with that. Good luck with that. And is he going to stick to that? So I know that there is the group of stick to sports. I just want sports. I don't want to hear about any of this political nonsense. And I would say this isn't nonsense to a segment of the population in our society. It shouldn't even be just a segment. It should be every last person who is bothered by what they saw in Wisconsin, who's been bothered by what they've seen with Breonna Taylor, who's been bothered and moved to say, what are we doing here exactly? Rather than, well, I got my thing all figured out, so the rest of you, good luck.
What's been nonsense is watching the Diamondbacks over the last week. Not to take an abrupt left turn, but that's been nonsensical to me. So
is Torrey, because Pedro's coming up here in a few minutes, and I have to ask, is Torrey Lovello's job in jeopardy? And
I would hope not, but you know, you made a great point like last month. You said, you know, the owner is not afraid to make changes, even if they're not the most popular of changes. So it wouldn't like completely surprise me, because that, you know, we've got a month left in the baseball season. And as of last night, the Diamondbacks were 9 games behind the Dodgers. So forget about winning the NL West. And as you mentioned, the Padres seem to be ascending as the Diamondbacks continue descend.
They're fun.
And they're talented. They're not just fun. They're talented.
And they're young.
They're
young. You know, Robbie Ray in the first inning last night, Berthiaume and Brenly are bringing up. So Robbie Ray has the worst walk to strike pitch in all of Major League Baseball as a ball goes flying out. Right. And so, you know, that the prep and, you know, just the broadcast stuff, I don't have to be in their shoes. I don't have to go be even in that booth. You know, in the pre-production meetings or just when you can push a button down and mute your mic, they're saying, this is awful. And it doesn't matter if he changes his arm angle, his shoes, his hair, his look. It's just like, what are we doing here? And so they put all this money into Madison Bumgarner. He's not been healthy. The team stinks. They're boring with a capital B. They just aren't interesting at all. And so have the players quit on Torrey? Have the players taken advantage of Torrey's good-naturedness? Managers, players, you can't fire the whole roster. And so Ken Kendrick does have an itchy trigger finger, I've seen from time to time. We've all seen from time to time the Diamondbacks change managers about every 4 years. I am not sitting here today saying Torrey needs to be fired. What I am saying is history shows. It's just history shows. And the deadline is next week. They're dead in the water right now. Anybody who's going to defend them, you are on the payroll, and that's it. You are seeing this thing through Sedona red glasses, and you're blind to what's going on if you think this is good.
Yeah, you made great points. I can't disagree with any of that. One of the most disappointing things is, you know, the Diamondbacks came off that winless road trip, and you've got the Rockies at home, and the Rockies aren't much better than the Diamondbacks.
No.
Monday, loss. Tuesday, loss. Wednesday, loss. So the Diamondbacks could get swept at home by the team that's just barely above them and second to last place in the NL West.
Well, but even if they get swept, Eric, I'm watching them and they just seem lifeless and listless. There's just nothing there. And so at what point does the owner just say, yep, you know, we got this TV contract over here. Bye-bye this guy, bye-bye that guy. Like, I don't need to see Jake Lamb again. I don't need to see Robbie Ray again. I don't see how they're going to help here. And so the other thing is, today is a big day. Have you heard anything yet from the AIA meetings? I have not myself. So SMAC is meeting today, and that's the Sports Medicine Council. And if SMAC, which is part of the AIA, very, very key point here, they're part of the AIA. So if SMAC says the guidelines aren't there yet, we need to push back for a couple of weeks, is David Hines going to say, well, we're not listening to your recommendations? No, because, well, somebody gets sick, something really bad happens, then the lawsuit comes and says, you guys didn't even listen to your own medical people. So they're going to push back. There's that part of it. And then I'm starting to hear, Eric, I don't know. I live in the wild, wild west out here in the Southeast Valley. look around the Southeast Valley, look in the East Valley, and how many school districts are not playing? The answer would be, I don't know, zero. All of them are working out. And there's some people that are getting to the point to say, we're just going to go form our own league. We're going to just go do our own thing because we are ready to go. It's getting to that point. Sounds far-fetched? I don't know. Can you go get some officials? I don't know. Do you have the stadium? Do you have the lights? Can you turn it on yourself? If the AIA is not going to push through, and I hear this every few years, because every few years of coaches and athletic directors saying this, I will be surprised today if silence is what happens. Because there's a lot of pissed off coaches and athletic directors out here in the Southeast Valley. From Queen Creek to Mesa to Ahwatukee to Chandler to just right down the list. They want to play. So
I don't blame them. I think they should play. I don't know what we're waiting for. I don't know. Today is supposed to be the day that the new schedules come out with the AIA. And we'll see if those games are actually going to start on October 2nd, as has been the plan. But I'm in the camp of we need to play. Like, let's just get this thing started and see what happens.
I just think there's going to be some radical ideas later today or by tonight if they are pushed back. And I don't see any way that they're not going to. Pedro Gomez on the other side on protesting what he saw yesterday. And he and I have both been in this business a long time. And the Diamondbacks, too. Stay with us. And now, as promised, here is Pedro Gomez, ESPN analyst, baseball insider, man about town, Valley resident, with a lot to start with here. And I'm not really sure where, but you and I have been in this business a long, long time. And I have not seen a day like yesterday where players just said, no, we're just not going to play. So let's start there of what you made out of yesterday.
I think players are much more comfortable and familiar with the power that they have, the platforms that they have to be able to send a message. You know, this goes back to the 60s, really, when Bill Russell or Tommy Smith and John Carlos at the 68 Olympics, Muhammad Ali saying, no, I'm not going to, you know, show up even though I've been drafted. But it was such a much more uncomfortable conversation back then. And look, there are still people that do not believe that politics should ever intertwine with sports, but that's not reality. That is right. Not reality. And athletes, I think, are using their voice to say, hey, we have power. We can try to push the ball forward, so to speak. And I think that's what we're seeing. And I think it's wonderful.
Were you uncomfortable with the Diamondbacks playing last night with Colorado?
I was a little surprised,
yeah.
Uncomfortable, mad, disappointed, you know, all of the above, maybe. I think that once the Milwaukee Bucks cleared the way, so to speak, for everybody else, I think it would have been an incredible day for every other sport to say, we're joining our brothers with the Milwaukee Bucks, and we're saying no. We're just going to take a pause. We're going to hit pause tonight to have everybody talk about and think about what is going on here in the world. It's hard. It's obviously difficult because it's so fluid at the moment. Mm-hmm. But I think it would have been an amazing statement for everybody in sports to say, none of us are playing today. That goes for the NHL, everybody.
Pedro Gomez with us. And that takes me over to this side. There is a segment watching you and I right now that say, shut up and stick to sports.
Absolutely. I know there are.
There's a segment that's watching you and I right now that says, these guys make millions of dollars. They need to shut up and play. I think what is lost to those people is owners were assisting the Bucks. Ownership was saying, what can we do to help? And so they're going to look at they being the side of, this shouldn't be happening. I just want my sports. That's unheard of. And the TV numbers, yeah, they're not as good early on, if I'm to believe them. But you can find numbers any way you want. There's still a huge audience out there. The ownership getting involved part of it. Craig Counsell saying, I'm proud of my team. That's a manager saying, I'm very proud of my team. Where do you go with that side of this?
Well, I think it indicates that they are together in this, and they know. Look, here's the thing, Brad. I think that a lot of people who say shut up and give me my sports view these athletes as nothing more than their entertainment. They don't really exist other than on the field or on the arena or on the ice. They're just there for my entertainment is how they view it. And that, I think, is eye-opening to a lot of people that these are real human beings who have real thoughts and who are disgusted with things that are going on in society and want to do something, want to enact change somehow. And people will say, well, how can a protest do anything? Well, it gets a conversation going. It makes people who maybe wanted to watch the NBA yesterday, maybe there is some sliver out there saying, okay, let me find out exactly what's going on. Maybe they weren't fully educated on what was happening and why these decisions were made. And if only that, that's enough right there to maybe start to push for change in society, as the athletes and so many believe should happen. So I'm really it's exhilarating to see that ownership is behind this as well. Whether it's real or not, I don't know, but at least they're putting out the right message right now, saying, hey, there is hurt going on. There is pain out there.
Okay, so I'm going to continue on with Craig Counsell. He said, you know, they've tried the approach of wearing T-shirts and statements. Yeah. That hasn't worked. That's very strong. So coming out of this morning, out of meetings overnight and even this morning, I'm going to read directly here. They're looking for new and improved ways to make social justice statements at games. Well, what else can you do if it says Black Lives Matters on the court and the players have it on their jerseys? What else can they do? I'm wondering if it's how far do you go on this before there is no game? It's just social justice for 2.5 to 3 hours. There's got to be a balance here. Got to be a balance, I think. But when I see new and improved ways, how else can you have new and improved ways? That's what I'm wondering.
I think there's a lot of people searching for those things. But I think when you see New York Mets first baseman Dominic Smith after the game last night with tears flowing down his cheeks and being very powerful with his words, Robert Horry doing the same thing on the Lakers network broadcast.
Tony Gwynn Jr. Do you see that?
Tony Gwynn Jr., Doc Rivers the night before. These are powerful, powerful statements coming across through the camera that any even-minded person has to take pause and say, there's something going on here that maybe I don't quite understand, but it's powerful enough for these grown men to be brought to tears and their voices cracking. Maybe there is more to what's going on. They have a certain platform. Look, we're talking about this.
Yep.
So obviously the athletes do have a platform. And those days of the athletes saying, I'm not political, I just want to play the game, I just want my contract, those days are obviously not, those are in the past.
Yeah, and it should be mentioned. It should be mentioned the WNBA was
a part of this too. They probably have been at the forefront of all of this.
Yeah, WNBA was right up there. Yeah.
Yes, they've probably been the lead dog on this. It's just unfortunate that their voice hasn't been as impactful. But once you get, you know, the more dominant sports moving in the same direction, we've seen that it has taken a much bigger tidal wave, so to speak, with it, and these conversations are happening in every corner of this country right now because of the actions that these NBA players and Major League Baseball players have taken.
Yeah, and Cliff Kingsbury this morning canceling practice. Yeah. He's going to be talking about it too. I want to switch gears over to the Diamondbacks. So, 8-game losing streak in a 60-game season. They're more than halfway there. Is Torey Lovello's job in jeopardy?
Under normal circumstances, I would say no. But here's what I have seen It looks like the players are almost taking advantage of Torrey's truly good-natured way. It's sad to see, but I don't see any fire. I don't see that spark that you normally would see. And it almost feels like they're taking advantage of Torrey's good-naturedness. If you watched his post-game presser yesterday after the game, he looks aged. Mm-hmm. He looks beaten down. And I know it's not his nature to flip tables and break TVs and scream and things like that. I know that's not who he is. And it just seems like if it is in jeopardy, it's really the players who are taking advantage of a very good man. Unfortunately, that is sometimes the way pro sports works.
Would it surprise you if Ken Kendrick and Derek Hall made a move in season with Torrey Lovello?
Very, very. I think that any managerial move in season during a 60-game season would be disheartening, and I would not agree with it on any level unless a club truly just gave up and said, we're not playing for this guy. I don't see that, but they're just... It's not that they're saying we're not playing for Torrey. It's more that they're taking advantage of his tremendous spirit.
Okay, so if the manager is not there, then the deadline's next week. I've seen Robbie Ray. I know Robbie Ray. It's 3 1/3 with 7 hits, 5 runs.
89 pitches.
89 pitches. The announcers are constantly bringing up the negative side of him, which tells me they are being given information, and I just look at that and say, okay, Jake Lamb, it's been nice. Thank you for playing. There's nothing going on here. Is this a space where Mike Hazen is going to turn the roster upside down? I mean, really upside down by the deadline. If this continues, do you think they're at that point?
Well, I think you have to look at the landscape, and you look at the Dodgers and the Padres, and they're not going anywhere.
Nope.
And this is the division you're in. Do you look at your roster and say, you know, if we just tweak it a little, we can jump up to that level? I don't think that that's the case. So, yes, I do believe that it could very well be, let's just hit reset and completely reset everything. And it could be years of a lot of losing around town. But the current putting Band-Aids on things every offseason is not working. And like I said, you look at two clubs within your division who are going this way.
Mm-hmm.
And you as the Diamondbacks are trending down. I just don't see any reason to keep the status quo.
Yeah, I mean, they're one of the most, if not the most disappointing team in baseball this year. Yeah, Madison Bumgarner, he's done nothing, and he's been hurt.
Escobar's done nothing.
I mean, it's one of those things where, and not only that, Pedro, they're not interesting to watch. Fernando Tatis is really interesting to watch. He's a lot of fun. The Padres look like a team that says, yeah, we're not your 1990s or 2000s baseball team. We're going to break rules, or we're going to have people question what we're about. You know what? Tough. We're going to go do what we want to do, and we're going to go have fun. They look like they're having fun. Even when they're losing, they're interesting. This team is just dreadfully dull right now.
And, Brad, I would say this, that when you look at the Padres from 2 years ago to today, there's not a huge difference in that roster. It's Tatis. Tatis has injected that enthusiasm, and it has spread throughout the entire roster, and you see it. I was on a Zoom call with the Padres GM AJ Preller yesterday, or 2 days ago, and I thought he had a fascinating way of describing Tatis and Machado, who are the shortstop and third baseman. He said, you look at Tatis and it's nothing but fire. You look at Machado and it's nothing but ice, and it's a tremendous combination to put together. They're fun to watch. you know, the Suns back in 2005, 6, 7 were fun to watch.
Yeah, they were must-see TV.
Absolutely. They were. Yeah. The D-backs back, you know, in 99, 00, 01, they were fun to watch. They had personalities. They played with such enthusiasm, even though they were not kids. They played well together as a team, and they had personalities. I would say that's one thing that's missing here. There are no personalities.
No.
There's no personality.
It's a lot of blue dot on a blue wall. And when you're blue dot, blue wall, and it's just, I've seen this act before. I've seen this makeup before. And this, that doesn't work. And they've been lapped. And, you know, you can't trade Bumgarner, or can you? Because really, yeah, he's top of the line pitcher, but you're going nowhere. If you're going to tear this thing all the way to the ground, that's, I know I'm rambling here on this, but it's just so frustrating to see a baseball team so uninteresting. That's my thing. So
I cannot disagree with you in the least.
Yeah.
Even the Rockies, who are, you know, maybe treading, they're maybe running on the treadmill and not really going up or down, they're at least a little fun to watch. You've got Trevor Story. You've got Nolan Arenado, Charlie Blackmon. There's some personality there. The Diamondback Club, this Diamondback Club just doesn't seem to have any personality.
Stay well. Stay safe. Thank you.
Be well.
Pedro, yeah, there's Pedro Gomez, ESPN, Valley resident, and we're back with more after this timeout. And saying, hey, can you come on and talk about this a week or two in would be a little much. But now we're at the two-week mark, and I'm just curious, Herm, how are you doing with all this? You're a routine guy. How is this going for you?
Well, my routine really hasn't changed a whole lot. You'd obviously be preparing to play in a game right now. You know, it's this month and the next month, but that is not the case. But for the most part, our staff and our student athletes have, you know, after they got over blow to the stomach and knocking the air out of us a little bit.
Yeah.
We've gone on to continue to meet, to continue to work out with our weight coach, and have some walkthroughs as well. So we function pretty well right now. I mean, we've got a spirit about ourselves. It's all about what we can do today. We can't worry about tomorrow. And when you come to work every day, our motto is you got to get better today. That's the bottom line. You only can do what you can do today. And our players have done a nice job of that.
What can you let fans know in as what a typical day looks like now because the season has been pushed back? They're asking me, like, Brad, what can they do? What can't they do?
Well, basically, similar to what they would do when school started, they're here in the morning. They generally get here. The walk-on guys are here at about 6:30. They were here this morning working out, doing the weights. And then what follows that, we've had to split up in groups now. So we can't meet per se as a team together. We have to meet at different times. So as one team is working out on the field or with the weight coach, the other team is meeting, and then they flip it. When we go on the field, according to where it's at and what we do during the day, if it's here or the bubble, then that's a whole different perspective of what we do over there. But basically what we do is we can lift. We can run conditioning-wise. We can do individual drills. We can do some sort of walkthrough with our offense and our defense, and that's it. I mean, there's no 11-on-11 per se. There's no shoulder pads. There's no practicing. It's more of getting them in shape. And we can get stronger, we can get faster, and we can get smarter. And that's kind of our mindset going into the 2020 season. These are the things that we can do. Now, for a player, it's difficult because, you know, there's always an end game when you start the journey. And the end game generally is, okay, we start a journey here, then we get ready to play. There's a result every week. Well, now there's no result.
Right.
Because we're not playing anytime soon. So I think what we have to do is create situations where they are very competitive. So one thought was, we have a Madden tournament. We had a draft last week where we drafted every player on the team. Five quarterbacks drafted. We were in the big room. Quarterbacks were the only guys in the room. And we went through round, and we were picking players off the board. And so now this week the teams are set. Next week the tournament will begin. So that'll be kind of interesting.
No, that's fun. That's a great idea. I mean, great. Because the thing is, the grind is where the team is made. It's made in the weight room. It's made in July and in August and in the off season, right? I mean, the end game is the games themselves, and you're not now having all that. Like, as a whole team, you cannot have the whole team together. And so is there something that's missing in that things like coming up with a Madden tournament can get all of them together, even though they physically aren't there and you're trying to accomplish that?
Well, that you make a great point, but the thing for them is that, and coaches as well, you're about competition.
Yeah.
You like competing. And now all of a sudden, because we're postponed, there's no opponent to compete with. So you're competing against yourself right now, trying to get better. But there's always this thing when you go through seasons, whatever sport you play, you know there's this thing where you have to work out, you have to prepare yourself. The preparation and the process is what you go through. But then the end game is we get to play, and there's going to be a score, and we get to compete. Well, now we don't get to play. And so how do we fill that void? And that's where the coaching comes in, is you have to create things where they're always competing, whether it's amongst each other, competing against yourself. You want to keep that edge with your football team.
How about the outside noise in the last 2 weeks? Because there are kids that are transferring. There is that, hey, they're not playing out west, you should come here. How do you handle the noise?
Well, look, there was noise when I took this job. So the one thing about our student athletes here and our staff, we don't get involved in the noise. We really don't. We control what we can control in the building. These players have always been informed exactly what we were going to do. We had a plan, obviously, practice plans and how you go about doing things. This has been drawn out for them. They know exactly what they need to do to get better as a football player, personally, as a football team. And they bought into this. I think the key with any structure you have, when you sit with people involved from all different levels, there has to be communication and there has to be consistency. Mm-hmm. There's been no hidden agenda here. These players have known from the beginning exactly what we're going to do and how we're going to go about doing it.
Have you had anybody transfer out yet?
No.
And you don't think you will?
No.
Yeah. And you've gotten into every last one of them and talked to them about it?
We're okay.
Yeah.
We're okay.
The mental health of players. So, you know, there's an election. There's another shooting of an unarmed black man in front of his kids. There's class that's starting. There's so much going on. And then football's taken away. I'm curious about the mental health of players and how you go about that right now. And is that a concern to you?
Well, I think that's a concern for America. I mean, if you know, anyone right now, because of all of a sudden you have to rearrange your whole life. In America, you're used to a routine. Regardless if you're a football player, football coach, what you do, that routine has been abruptly changed. And how do you function now? And I think the key is, for me personally, is that you have to understand there has to be a way of asking yourself this question. What am I going to do, first of all, for myself? You have to be a little selfish in this. What am I going to do for myself to make sure I'm okay? Because if I'm okay, then I can spread that amongst the people that I see, because I sit in that seat, okay? I'm the head coach, and I've got to touch players. I got to touch equipment men. I've got to touch the weight coaches. I've got to touch the trainers. There's a lot of people that work with me. And the way I walk into this building kind of sets the tone of what needs to be done every day. And if I come in here like, you know, downtrodden and hey, do I have a lot of things on my mind? I do.
Sure.
But I understand that there, one thing about sports, you have to have energy. And I got to turn the lights on every morning. All right. And so they got to know when they're in here, regardless of what's happening outside, it doesn't matter to me. When you come in here, this is what we're going to do. We have a plan. And this is how it works. If any player is struggling in any part of his life right now, they know this door is open. Have I visited with some players? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But the thing I, 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 I've earned, and I had to earn it. I got to earn their trust, where they feel like I can walk in here and talk to the coach about how I feel about this situation. And generally, they leave here with an answer.
Yeah. And things like the election debates, societal things, are you talking to them about that? It's not just football, right?
No. These are life lessons.
Yeah.
This is a great moment to really teach life lessons. And you mentioned some things that these players are well aware of. This university as a whole for the student athletes, we want them to vote. We want them to be a part of the political process. We want them to do that. We're going to set up a situation where they're going to be able to vote, and that's okay. And they understand the social justice part, you know, what's happening in our society as well. We tell them this: look, if you see racism occur at any level, you don't stand silent. Do not stand silent. You have a platform. Make sure, though, when you use a platform, you have solutions. Have solutions. We want to be changers. You know, be a problem solver. You know, that's what I've always preached to these guys. And if you don't have the answer right away, then make sure that you don't speak until you know what to say, and you know it in a way that helps. That helps people.
It's interesting because when you have a situation like in Wisconsin that just happened, and it's fresh, and I talk to athletes like Brad, and I see the NBA players saying they came in with their heads down, like, I don't know if we're making any change or not, because here's another police shooting. And you're sitting in a space where you have 18, 19, 20-year-olds that come in, some hanging of heads the last couple of days, some tough conversations, or it's just, you know, there's a lot happening.
No, I think that, look, when you talk about change, and I grew up in the, okay, I'm aging myself a little bit, but I was involved in the 60s, growing up in high school, right, in the late 60s. You're talking about the Vietnam War. You're talking about Martin Luther King getting assassinated. You're talking about the Olympic Games, Tommy Smith and John Carlos. Mm-hmm. You talk about social unrest back in the late 60s, going into the 70s when I went to college. And the thing that I've always told young people is that change is like pushing a big rock. It's not turning on a light switch. It doesn't happen overnight. And the thing that I've seen just with my own eyes, and I've watched the protests and whatever it may be, there are people of all different walks of life, of all different religion, nationalities, political, it doesn't matter. And you see this crux of young people that have a chance to change the dynamics of this for their children. It's not going to change for them so much. It's the generation that follows you. What do you do to push the rock? And they have been marvelous with some of the platforms they've used to voice their opinions and their thoughts, because everyone has a platform in today's world because of social media, right? Everyone, your chest is a button away from throwing your feelings out there. And the key is, to me, and I've always said this, be a change agent, but have solutions. Have solutions. Don't be a part of the problem.
I remember talking with you when you first came on board about when you were in San Diego and down in the shipyards and that whole area. And when you see today, do you go back to when you were going through all of those things, the Vietnam War and the assassination, and remembering when you were at San Diego State and what you were dealing with and the emotions? And is it similar, do you think?
Yeah, and really for me, it was my senior year was at San Diego State, but it was more for me when I went to Cal Berkeley right out of high school.
Yeah, sure.
1972. That was, you talking about a school that knew how to protest? I was in one of the protest capitals of the world. You talk about some people protesting and on the plaza there and watching the different speakers. Look, Dr. Harry Edwards, we just had him on.
He talked about
all our coaches and athletes. He was my professor. So I go way back to those days. It was before San Diego State. It was when I went to Cal Berkeley. And I think you realize that, certain things in life, and you hate to say this, at times they repeat itself. And you look at it, and the sad part about what I see now and what I witnessed in the 60s, and I've said it numerous times, I said, this movie has to stop.
Yeah.
Because this is a bad movie. And this is America.
Yeah.
We're better than this. We're way better than this. And it has this is a movie you don't want to see anymore. I don't want to see it. But the sad part, the conversations I had with my dad at 14 years old about this stuff, my daughters are 14 and 15 now. I'm having the same conversation with them.
Mm.
I don't want to have that conversation. I don't want their kids to have this conversation. Because we're better than this.
Before I get you out of here, and I appreciate your time, Herm Edwards, always good to catch up with the head coach at Arizona State. NFL on Fridays and Saturdays. You see it? You think it's going to happen?
We're pulling for them. We're pulling for everybody that's trying to play, that they get through it safely. We knew in the beginning, our doctors and our medical professionals had the game plan for us. And I understood that from the beginning. And once they decided, you know, it wasn't right at this point in time, we postponed. And so the teams that are continuing to play or try to play, we're pulling for them. There's no doubt about it. What it'll look like, we don't know. We're going to sit back and watch.
On the college end, how many SECs and ACC coaches have you spoken to about it? And have they called you and said, did you guys pull the plug too soon? Or here's what we're going through. We only see a little bit of really what's going on. So I'm asking about behind the scenes here.
I'll put it this way. I think they're all cautious. They're cautious, and rightly so. Because these are student athletes, especially at the college level, and no coach or no one, no administrator wants to put a young person's in a place where it's not safe. And I think every university is doing whatever they can do to make sure safety is the number one criteria for all, for staff members. There's so many people involved in this. You know, we think about the players, but how about the trainers? How about the weight coaches? You know, there's a lot of people that touch these players every day. And I just think that now with campuses opening up, that brought on a new dynamic, right?
Yes, it did.
And so all these things are talked about being weighed. And I'm just glad I didn't have to make a decision. I'm just the head coach. I follow orders, right? And hopefully everyone will be safe and we'll get through this. And hopefully we'll get back to playing football again.
I told fans I was going to have you on. I sent in a bunch of questions, just a couple of them.
Sure.
Have the Sun Devils been in a space where recruiting in the Pac-12 will be hurt? You cannot be specific about players.
Right.
I can just say you land this, you land that. But do you think the Pac-12 will be hurt nationally in recruitment?
No. I think people lose this when they think about recruiting. You only have 25 scholarships. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
And if you look at what we've done, with no visits, and you look at the players that have committed to us, we're doing pretty good. Pretty good. Now we got to keep them. I get that part. But we've gone, and the recruiting is big now because you have a lot of time, right? Because you have time on you. And a lot of these high school kids are not playing either. Let's make that perfectly clear. Okay, all over the country, a lot of these kids' season has been postponed. They're not going to play. So we're going to get a lot of the kids that have committed to us in the spring. We're going to get them here early because they're not going to play high school season, a lot of these young men. So will it hurt you? I don't believe that. I not one bit. I just worry about us. It hasn't affected us.
How about the situation on where you have the seniors that are being given a year back and you have the kids that are coming in? How are you going to handle the numbers? How's that going to work? That was a big question I had asked.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. And basically, the rule is still kind of fuzzy out there. I'm not sure quite, and I don't want to say something that I got to come back on and say I didn't get it right. But it's been explained a little bit to me that the seniors are getting another year. But now I've heard today that everyone might get another year. So that'll be interesting how you handle that. And we've had a meeting already this morning about what does that look like, right?
Right.
But we'll deal with it, and we'll make adjustments, and we'll do whatever we have to do to get that done. But good for the players. It's a good thing for the players, that's for sure. And a couple things that really helps them. If you're a college athlete, student athlete, and if you get another year, there's no way. You should be almost done with your master's if you do it right. And if you've really been working, you got another year. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
And the last question is your players that could go into the NFL draft, Merlin and others, how's that going to shake out?
Well, it boils down to this way. When your resume is your tape, what you put on film, are you okay with that? Are you okay with last year's resume? Like for us, recruiting kids right now, a lot of them have played their junior year, will not play their senior year. So now you have to offer them on their junior film.
Got it.
In the NFL, they're going to look at your tape because that's your resume and ask this question. And you got to ask the question as a player. Do I want to live on that tape or can I get better? Can I improve? For the most part, a lot of our guys, they want to play.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Yeah. I appreciate all the time that you gave me today. And as always, it's good to catch up with you. Thanks.
Thank you, my friend. You be safe. All those Sun Devil fans, stay safe as well. All people living in Arizona, all over the country, just stay safe. Wear one of these. These kind of important. These right here. Look at this one.
You got a good one? You got a good one?
This is a pretty nice one.
Look at that. Look at that. Pull it down a little bit over. Yeah, there you go.
Forks up. Forks up.
There's Herm Edwards, and we're back with more after this timeout.